If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 38, we'll read verse 6. The title of the sermon you see is Ebed-Melech. Everybody remembers him, don't you? You know, it's amazing. We remember the folks in the Bible like Noah and Moses and David and all the folks that are more famous, Daniel. You go to the New Testament and all the different characters. We know those folks, but sometimes there's an obscure name and an obscure event in the Bible that is only mentioned once, and it's not part of stories we hear growing up as children. But this is an incredible story, a wonderful story. Ebed-Melech, old clothes and old rags. We have the scripture here on the overhead for you. So they took Jeremiah and cast him in the dungeon of Malchiah, the king's son, which was in the court of the prison. And they let Jeremiah down with ropes. And in the dungeon there was not water, but mire. So Jeremiah sank in the mire. The setting and the timing of this event was when the Lord's prophet Jeremiah was thrown into the dungeon to die. And of course, these were terrible days in Israel under a very wicked king named King Zedekiah. One lone man, God's man, Jeremiah, had fought battles against false idols and fought battles against disobedience to God and God's principles and His commandments. So Jeremiah and his scribe, Baruch, had warned them of pending doom if they didn't turn back to God. It seems like it's a constant cycle in the history of Israel. They'd turn their back on God, they'd worship false idols, they'd forget God and His commandments. God would bring judgment, God would bring His wrath upon them, they'd come back to God, they'd be faithful for a while, and over a period of time they'd fall back again into apostasy. When Zedekiah was king, Israel continues in their rebellion to the things of God, and he doesn't heed the words. No one was paying any attention to the words of the prophet Jeremiah. By the word of God, Jeremiah told the people of Israel that if they would just surrender to the Chaldeans. Now, the Chaldeans is just another expression for the Babylonians. The area was referred to as Chaldea. The capital city was Babylon. So when we say Chaldeans or Babylonians, those are interchangeable. So the word of God to Jeremiah was, we're under siege. What we need to do is just surrender and submit ourselves to the Chaldeans, and we won't lose our lives. But if you resist, if you try to fight it out, you're all going to die. Jeremiah understood that the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, were there because of God's wrath and judgment upon Israel because they turned their back on God. Well, the king just hates hearing these words from Jeremiah. He says that Jeremiah is just stirring up the people and by giving them warnings of God's judgment, and the king didn't like it at all. And when Jeremiah goes out of the city to claim some property inheritance for his family that's in the land of Benjamin, so he leaves the city of Jerusalem, he travels out to the land of Benjamin, a captain of the guard of the king's army arrests him. And they claimed that he wasn't going just to take care of his family property, that he was defecting to the enemy. God always wants to protect us, and the enemy always wants to come after us, even with lies and false charges. That's what happened to Jeremiah. So they took Jeremiah, the Bible says they beat him, they threw him in prison, they threw him in a dungeon, and King Zedekiah took him out after a few days, I guess. He took him out and asked him, he says, is there any word from the Lord? It's almost as if the king thought, well, after Jeremiah's in that dungeon for a few days, he's going to have a different message. He didn't have a different message. It was the same message that God had already given him. Jeremiah answered the king and he said, yes, there's a word from the Lord. Here it is. You shall be delivered to the hand of the king of Babylon. I don't think that's what Zedekiah wanted to hear at that moment. In fact, I know it wasn't. But Jeremiah asked the king, he says, Would you please not put me back down into the dungeon? Would you let me just stay up here in what was called the court of prison, not the dungeon? And so the king granted the request from Jeremiah and also demanded that Jeremiah be given bread every day. Well, he's not in the dungeon anymore. He's in the court of the king, the prison. But Jeremiah doesn't stop saying what God has put on his heart. He continues to warn everyone that those who remain in the city, they will die by the sword, or they'll die by famine, or they'll die by pestilence, but they're going to die unless they go over to the Chaldeans, unless they surrender and give up and let God's will be done, which is to bring judgment upon them. The Bible tells us that there were princes and noblemen of Israel. Who were those folks? Well, those were like judges and jurors and Pharisees and other rulers. They were tired of hearing Jeremiah give this warning. They wanted to get rid of him. And so they wanted to put him to death for what he was saying. We know, though, that Jeremiah was telling the truth, wasn't he? He's telling the truth, but just like it is today. The truth is told, but those in sin and in rebellion, they never want to hear the truth. They never want to hear the truth. Well, they claimed, these noblemen and these others, they claimed that Jeremiah was weakening the hand of the warriors and the soldiers that were trying to protect the city. So despite what the king had done, they grabbed Jeremiah, they threw him in a deep dungeon, where they let him down into that dungeon, the Bible says, by ropes. Really, the dungeon was really a cistern. Now, the difference between a cistern and a water well has a regular source of water that fills the well up. A cistern is just a holding place for the water. So they pour a lot of water in there, and it keeps it cool, and then when they need it, they bring it up and use the water. Well, in this cistern, this dungeon, it's just mire and mud at the bottom. If Jeremiah doesn't keep moving, he's going to slowly sink down into that mire and mud, and he could die. It could suffocate him. Or he could also die from just a lack of food, because they weren't giving him any food. And in either case, his death could not then be blamed on the nobleman and the people that were against him. Poor Jeremiah. He's obedient to God. He's in the will of God. He's faithful to God. He's following the commands of God. And look what's happening to him. But when you remain faithful, when you remain faithful no matter what the circumstances, you can still count on God to find a way for you. You can still do it. Look at these words with me this morning. Just because you may find yourself in a very painful or unpleasant situation does not mean that God has abandoned you. Are you hearing this today? It doesn't mean God's abandoned you or forgot about you or even that you have missed the will of God based on those situations going on around you. Sometimes we need to get a hold of just the fact that no matter what the situation is, I'm still a child of God and He is with me. Amen. So here's Jeremiah. He's all alone. He's down in the filth and mire of this deep dungeon or cistern, whatever you want to call it. And then the Bible says a stranger, a man of Africa, an Ethiopian, comes to the rescue of Jeremiah. Look at the scripture with me. If you have your Bibles, it's in Jeremiah chapter 38, beginning with verse 7. We'll have them for you on the overhead as well. Now, Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs who was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon. When the king was sitting at the gates of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went out of the king's house and spoke to the king, saying, "My lord, the king, these men have done evil in all they've done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they've cast into the dungeon, and he's likely to die from hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city." Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, "Take from here 30 men with you, and lift Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he dies." So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury. and took from their old clothes and old rags and let them down by ropes into the dungeon to Jeremiah. Then Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, said to Jeremiah, please put these old clothes and rags under your armpits, under the ropes. And Jeremiah did so. So they pulled up Jeremiah with ropes, lifted him up out of the dungeon. And Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. This action, this help by this brave Ethiopian saved the life of God's servant. And at the same time, he endangered his own life. For if the nobleman who put Jeremiah in that dungeon, if they had heard of what Ebed-Melech had done, how he had interfered with what they wanted, they certainly would have sought him out to kill him. Think of this. Ebed-Melech, he's a eunuch. He's probably a neutered man. He's a black man. He's working in the king's house. At that time in history and in that culture, he was at the lowest level of social order. He was considered a nobody. He was a slave. He was property. But on this day, this lowly man was one of the bravest of the brave of all of Israel, because he dared to approach the king, Zedekiah, and to plea for the rescue of the man of God. Ebed-Melech not only rescued Jeremiah, and he did so in a manner that was thoughtful and considerate and compassionate and with concern for Jeremiah's physical as well as his overall mental health and well-being. Why does the Bible give us this detail about going into the king's treasury and getting old clothes and old rags? Why didn't the story just said Ebed-Melech went with the men, they threw ropes down in the dungeon, and they pulled him out? Why did the Bible add those details to what took place? What seemingly would be insignificant, that he got old clothes and old rags, to show that this man, this Ethiopian, took time to do something that made the rescue of God's prophet less harmful to him physically. And for you and I today, to me, when you read this story and you see those details, it's a reminder to us that there is no detail of our lives that is too insignificant to God. Sometimes Satan whispers, God doesn't care about that. That doesn't matter. I want to remind you there again, there is no detail of our lives that is insignificant to God. This story is a reminder that He, God, touches the hearts of other people, people that we may not even expect to come to help us. He touches their hearts to bring God's concern for us in our situation, in our dark surroundings. He touches hearts of someone else to help us, just like he did with Ebed-Melech to help Jeremiah. And sometimes we feel like we're in a dungeon, so to speak, that everything's falling in on us, that everything's going wrong, and somebody else is out there praying for us. Somebody else calls us or sends us a note, or sees us and lets us know, you've been on my heart, I've been praying for you. Whatever you're dealing with, God's going to help you. I'm going to help you. We're here together. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? It's a beautiful thing that no detail is too small when God comes to your rescue. Amen. Ebed-Melech, this man risked everything for the sake of a man he hardly knew. Perhaps Jeremiah had been especially kind and considerate of Ebed-Melech when he had been in the king's court. No doubt Ebed-Melech had looked at Jeremiah, and he looked at him and saw a man of God, a man of faith, a man that was steadfast, And perhaps in his own heart, Ebed-Melech had believed in the one true God. When you look at it, you think about all the powerful, all the educated, all those with position, all those in a place of authority had rejected the message of God's messenger, Jeremiah. How ironic is it that this lowly Ethiopian servant, this servant would dare trust God, would believe the words of the prophet of God, and not only believe him, but give aid to help him when all others had turned against Jeremiah. And you know, it's no different today. When you look at today, the proud, the arrogant, the learned, those in authority, those that think they've got it all figured out, they turn their hearts away from the Savior who's always standing with open arms, ready to forgive and to love and to comfort for all that would just surrender and come to Jesus. It seems like the lowly, the humble, the hurting, the displaced, the needy, the oppressed, it seems like they're the ones that are so quick to receive the grace and the gift of forgiveness that Jesus wants to give us. So Jeremiah, he returned to the safety of the court of the prison. And Ebed-Melech now is back in the king's home. And can't you imagine this man, Ebed-Melech? Now he's wondering every minute when those noblemen are going to find out what he's done. And they're going to come and get him and hang him for his intervention. And he's probably wondering every minute when the fears of all of Israel and Jerusalem will be realized. And that conquering army just outside the gates, the Chaldeans, will break through. And it result in the slaughter of all of Jerusalem, including his own life being taken. Can you just imagine the terror that must have been in this man's mind and in his heart as he feared the worst? You know, sometimes we fear the worst, don't they? In fact, there was a saying I had in the bulletin last week about worry. It says, my Aunt Mabel said that you can't pay attention to that old saying that worry doesn't do any good. She knows it did because everything she ever worried about never happened. Yeah. We know that's true more than we care to admit sometimes, isn't it? But I tell you, our Heavenly Father, He is not only faithful to us, He is a most thoughtful and caring Heavenly Father. So here's this man, Ebed-Melech, full of worry and concern. His life's going to end because of what he's done. Look at these words with me in Jeremiah 39, 15 through 18. Meanwhile, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison. Now, he's out of the cistern now, but he's still in the court of the prison. Ebed-Melech has rescued him. Ebed-Melech is worrying about what's going to happen to him. And suddenly, the word of God comes to Jeremiah saying, go and speak to Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my words upon this city for adversity and not for good, and they shall be performed that day before you. He's saying, it's going to happen. The Chaldeans are going to overtake the city. But I love it when he says, however or but. It's great. Verse 17, but I will deliver you in that day. Now, this is Jeremiah saying this to Ebed-Melech. God is saying to you, Ebed-Melech, I will deliver you in that day, says the Lord, and you shall not be given into the hand of the men who you are afraid. For I will surely deliver you, and you shall not fall by the sword, but your life shall be as a prize to you, because you have put your trust in who? In me, says the Lord. Oh, you can never go wrong when your trust is in God. What a great reminder. What a great word. God speaks to Jeremiah, says, you go find Ebed-Melech and you tell him, I am with him. It's going to be okay. Can't you just imagine that when Jeremiah was tenderly lifted out of that dungeon and he was back into the safety of the court of prison, don't you imagine how often he must have thought, wow. What a thoughtful, wonderful thing Ebed-Melech did, not only risking his life to get me out of that dungeon, but bringing those old clothes and those old rags to put under my arms so that my delivery out of that dungeon would be painless. And I'll never forget what that man has done for me. And then the word of the Lord came to him. Go find Ebed-Melech. Go find him and tell him. Tell him that despite what he's fearing, despite what he's worrying about, that he shall not be given to the hand of the enemy, into the hand of those that would do harm to him, for I will deliver him. What a great word. Let me ask you today, who are you trusting in? Or maybe I should say, what are you trusting in? God wants to just tell you this morning, no matter what the adversity, no matter what you're dealing with that's going on around you, if you put your trust in Him, He's saying, trust me, I will deliver you. I will deliver you. Don't you know when Ebed-Melech heard that message from Jeremiah that his confidence was restored, his faith was restored? He now realized that with that promise from God, that 1,000 may fall at one side, 10,000 at the other side, but that his worry and his uncertainty was gone because he knew that God was with him. And that with the thoughtfulness characteristic of God's unfailing care for you and for me, God took specific steps to speak to the heart of the man that trusted him, to bring peace and hope to the heart and mind of that man, Ebed-Melech. Well, just as Jeremiah had warned, Jerusalem was overrun, and the arrogant Gentiles, the Chaldeans that overran the city, they walked into the holy places. Everywhere there was death, and people were dying, and captives were being assembled to be taken back as slaves to Babylon, just as God had warned through the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah's words had been fulfilled. Yet the Bible tells us that the Babylonian king recognized and greatly respected Jeremiah. Isn't that amazing? His own people rejected him, and yet the enemy, the king of the enemy, greatly recognizes this man of God and respects him. And the Bible says made provision for his safety. It's recorded in the 40th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. In fact, the historian Josephus records in the Antiquities of the Jews how that Jeremiah's request brought about liberty for his servant Baruch and liberty for the man that had saved his life, the lowly eunuch Ebed-Melech. Don't you love that? I love that. This story about a man that few of us remember reading and even knowing about, Ebed-Melech, this story gives us wonderful reminders, first of all, that God is indeed watching over us. Oh, He is. And that there's no detail too small in our lives for God to be concerned about. That God is thoughtful and mindful of our worries and our fears, the things that we can't get past. And that He's faithful. His word is true. His promises are forever. And it's just a great reminder. It's not just what you do for others or your obedience to God. Those are great things. But it's also how you do it. Old clothes and old rags remind us of how Jeremiah did it. Thoughtful, caring, tenderhearted, paying attention to the little things that can matter so much. Happy, oh, happy is the man and woman who dare keep their faith in God. Happy is the man and woman that dares continue to trust in God, even like Ebed-Melech did when he was facing even death, to step out in faith, risking everything, knowing that he would receive his reward, that God would be with him. And we can do the same. We can stand in that faith and in that trust, in the hope and the word of God, knowing that we will receive our rewards by God's own hand. By God's hand. Aren't you glad God cares about the details? He cares about the little things in our life. He cares about blessing us and helping us and being there for us in such a tender, caring, and thoughtful way. If we asked today for folks to stand up and testify, I bet there'd be a half a dozen testimonies of a time where God came through and there were little details that God brought to your mind and heart of how He helped you, how He was there for you, and how He blessed you. Aren't you thankful for that today? Trust Him. Oh, I can tell you today, trust Him. You'll never go wrong. Trust Him with all your heart today. Father, we thank You for the Word and how it blesses and encourages and helps us to see who You are, that You're our Heavenly Father, our Creator, that Your love is so immense that there is no detail in our life that's too insignificant. Father, help us to grow in our trust. Help us to grow in faith. Help us to put aside all the whispers and things that would distract us and to focus on Your promises and that You are faithful. No matter what we're going through, what seems so impossibly difficult and challenging, God, let us just step back and rest in the promises and in faith that You are indeed with us. Thank You, Father. Well, we can't say thank You enough. We praise You, Lord. We praise You and thank You for Your faithfulness. Amen. Amen. Amen.